I want to talk with you and encourage you along the topic of spiritual growth. Look at your neighbor and say, spiritual growth. Spiritual growth. And I want to talk to you with the thought, how do we grow spiritually? How do we grow spiritually? My son, Timothy, is getting older. He's 9 now, and next year he's going to be 10. And as he has grown, I have begun to notice some things about him. And one of the things that I have noticed is that my son Timothy sleeps all the time. It doesn't matter what's going on, TJ is going to get his sleep. We can be at home watching his favorite program on television. He can be home watching the Avengers. He can be watching whatever it is. But when it get about 9:30, TJ is going to get his sleep. We can be traveling in the car. And if we've been traveling longer than 30 to 45 minutes, I look back and turn around, and TJ is asleep. I began to get concerned about him when his teacher called me and she told me, she began to ask questions about him, and she said, you know, in times in class when TJ has finished his work early or, you know, we're not doing a whole lot, I look back there and his eyes are kind of drowsy and he's fallen asleep. You know, do you know what's going on? And so that led me to do some research in that. And what I found out is that when children are going through growth spurts, they sleep a lot. And so what I found out was that the reason why he was sleeping so much was because he was growing all the time. And if you know anything about TJ, it seems like every time I turn around, he done grown another inch. And so he's almost looking me in my eye. So the body only grows really when it's asleep. When you're awake, your body is not growing. But your body really grows when it's asleep. So if you really want to grow, just for some of us here, you young people, if you're trying to grow an inch, that means you need to sleep more. But then on the flip side of that, I learned that without proper sleep, that it becomes a hindrance to growth. So TJ grows when he's asleep, but it becomes a hindrance when he doesn't get good sleep. And along the same vein, in the way that we grow spiritually, physically when we sleep, and we don't grow physically when we don't sleep, that's a hindrance. There's also hindrances to us spiritually. If you remember, the Bible says that when we first agree to accept Jesus Christ, something amazing happens. The Bible says that we experience a transformation when we put our faith in Christ, that we become a new creature, 2 Corinthians 5:17. And it says that we are born again. What that simply means is that we are born anew, our spirits are revived, that we become aware of Jesus Christ and we are able to worship him and serve him in a new and fresh way. We begin to know him in a real and personal way. But the problem that all of us need to be aware of is when that transformation takes place, the Bible says that we begin our spiritual journey as children. And as children, we must grow spiritually. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 3:1-2, I want you to listen. He says, but I, brothers, could not address you as spiritual people, spiritual, mature people. He says, but as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. Watch this. Infants in Christ. Infants in Christ. That means that you can be in Christ and still an infant. Watch this. When you accept Christ, and some of us here have accepted Christ recently, when you decide to follow after Jesus, one of the things that you have to understand is when you start your journey, you don't start off as a spiritual giant. You start off as an infant, as a child. I don't think that means literally that you start off spiritually, like if you could see your spirit, you would be a child. But what I think what he's saying is that when you start off, your maturity level, your understanding starts off as an infant, and it has to grow. It becomes practical. practical, because when you start a job, how many know that when you first start your job, you don't start off as a spiritual or expert in your field, right? You have to start off as an infant, and then your knowledge and your experience grows. Well, it's the same way with us as believers. When you first get saved, when you come to Christ, you start off as an infant and you need to grow spiritually. The question becomes, how do we grow spiritually? Now, there's all types of books. There's all different types of things that are out there talking about how you grow. There's books and CDs, 7 steps to how to grow spiritually, 15 steps to how to grow spiritually. But when I look at Jesus, Jesus had one simple way of how he developed and grew people who decided to follow him. One simple way. You know what that way is? Discipleship. When the followers of Jesus, when you look at Peter and John and all of those who decided to follow Jesus, the way how he grew them was discipleship. Somebody say discipleship. Listen, the way how you grow spiritually is not necessarily just by reading books. You have to be discipled. Jesus, when he had his 12 disciples, where do you think the word disciple came from? When he had his 12 disciples or his 12 followers, the way how he took them from being fishermen to later becoming the apostles who eventually changed the world was he had to spend time with them, discipling them. Watch this. Jesus took his disciples from fishermen and he discipled them. He spent time with them. He shared with them. He got with them and he took them and showed them all the things that he knew about God. He spent time with them, sharing with them how they do it. Watch this. So here's the question that you and I have to ask. Watch this. If God decided to disciple people as a way to mature them, how should we do it? Think about this. Why would Jesus choose to grow people spiritually through discipleship, through engaging them, through sharing with them all the things that he learned? Why would he do it that way? Why didn't he cause us to grow spiritually by what we eat? I mean, he is the bread of life, right? Wouldn't it be awesome if Jesus, the way that we grow spiritually is based off of what we eat? You know, like you grow spiritually by eating fried chicken or baked chicken. I mean, wouldn't that be awesome? He could have done it, right? Wait a minute. Listen, he's the Son of God. This is God himself. Why would he choose to grow people up spiritually through discipleship? Why didn't he do it by what you drink? Isn't he the living water? I mean, if he wanted to, he could have said, fine, the way you grow spiritually is you drink this type of drink, and then you grow spiritually, you learn how to be like me, and you grow closer to me. Why did he choose discipleship? Why did he choose that you had to get with me and you have to learn from me and we have to spend time together in these small groups and from that you grow spiritually? Why did he do it that way? Why did he not say that you grow spiritually by laying on of hands? Wouldn't it have been a whole lot easier? I mean, you know, it would be so much easier if the way you grew spiritually is to have the pastor come and you lay hands on you and then you get your dose for that week and you super spiritual then. Watch this. Why would God himself say that the way you're going to grow in me, the way how you're going to grow in your spiritual life, is you have to go and learn from somebody else who teaches you? You have to be disciple. Why would he do it that way? Listen, I believe that the main reason why Jesus did it that way, watch this, is because he knew that his disciples would never reach their full spiritual potential on their own. Watch this, I'm headed somewhere. He knew that his disciples would never reach their full spiritual potential on their own, that they needed him to help them. They had got saved, they were on fire for Christ, but he knew they were never going to know as much about God as they could without him helping them. Watch this. They couldn't do it on their own. Watch this. And the truth still applies to us today. You will never grow and reach your full spiritual potential on your own. Watch this. You got to be discipled. Whenever you come to, it don't matter who you are, how much you know about Christ, you will never reach your full spiritual potential on your own. You must be discipled. Watch this. And this is why some of us are struggling in the church right now. You struggling in your life. You come into church and you trying to do the best that you can. Well, here's the thing. You decided to follow Christ, but you've never been discipled. Watch this. You've been spiritually reborn. You've decided that something's wrong, that you need to follow Christ, and a transformation has occurred spiritually, but you're still an infant. You've never grown. Watch this. And the way how you grow, the system is designed that you will never grow to your fullest potential without somebody else helping you grow. I don't know who I'm talking to. Listen, you've been trying to serve Christ in your marriage. You've been trying to do some different things. And the reason why you're struggling, how many know that it's hard to live the Christian life on your own? How many know that it's hard to be married and live a godly marriage on your own? Somebody ought to be, I know the married folk ought to be saying amen. Even when you are saved, listen, it's hard to live it on your own. Do you know why? Because the Bible has, God has designed the system that in order for you to grow to your fullest potential in Christ, you must be discipled by someone else. Watch this. Hebrews 5 and 12 says it this way. He says, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, do you see that? How many know that you can be in church a long time, and after so long, you should be teaching someone else? But he says, you need someone to what? Again, the basic what? Watch this. Why didn't he say, you need to get by yourself in pray mode? Did he say that? He didn't say that you need to get more in the Bible and study more. He said that you need someone to. Watch this. Hang on. See, the only way you go, you will never reach it if you don't have someone to teach you. Do you know why? Because you don't know everything, and you can't know everything because you're limited. I'm about to prove it to you in a second. Watch this. If you are here today and you've been struggling in your growth, in your spiritual life, in your thought life, and all the different things that are going on, you will never reach it fully on your own. I'm not saying you can't get better. I'm saying you'll never reach your full potential on your own. You must be discipled. Look at your name and say, you must be discipled. And that was a weak thing, but it's okay. I understand. Watch this. Because I know, listen, when you start saying discipleship, I know some of us are naturally resistant to it. Because when you start talking about disciple, then that means I got to learn from somebody. And some of us think we already know everything. How many know that the people who think that they know everything are generally the people who don't know anything? Listen, here's what I want you to know. Watch this. The system, Christianity, is designed that the way you grow, you will never reach it without the rest of the body. Listen, this is why Jesus discipled a group of 12, because you will never reach your full potential isolated. You need the other brothers and sisters in the body. Watch it. Let me prove it to you. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and it's interesting that they were talking about this in the first hour. Watch this. You will never reach your full potential. You need everybody. You need all your brothers and sisters. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul is writing to Corinthian believers to address their concerns about spiritual matters, and he wants them to know something. He wants them to understand this. Look in verse 1. Notice what he says, and I want you to look up here on the screen. Look at your Bible. That's in the King James Version or the New King James Version. I don't know what translation you have. But it's very good when you're reading the Bible, understand that there are different translations that make it easier to read. If you only read your Bible in the King James, man, unless you're an English major or something like that, it may be hard to understand the King James because the version is old. It's not how we read, right? So I want you to understand this from the New Living Translation, which is saying the same thing in just a different word. Paul says, I want you to understand this about spiritual things. Verse 1, he says, now, dear brothers and sisters, regarding your question about the special abilities the Spirit gives us, I don't want you to misunderstand this. Do you see that? So Paul says, listen, brothers and sisters, I got good news for you. God has given, your version may say, spiritual gifts. Do you see that? He says, God has given us spiritual gifts or special abilities. These special abilities that God has given, he didn't give to everybody. Who did Paul say he's given them to? He says, the special abilities the Spirit gives us. Do you see that? Well, who is the us? The us is the brothers and sisters that he's writing to. Do you see that? The brothers and sisters that he's writing to are the ones that he's given the special abilities to. We know that these brothers and sisters aren't his literal or physical brothers and sisters. He's talking about his brothers and sisters in Christ, right? Watch this. Follow along with me. So the Bible says that God has given special abilities, spiritual gifts to believers. In the next couple of verses, he says that since God has given these abilities to believers, he provides a couple of ways of identifying who these believers are. And if you look there, he says that the evidence of a believer is one who will not curse or blaspheme Jesus. The second one that he gives is that and the evidence of a believer is one who truly professes that Jesus is Lord. Because he says that no one can truly profess that Jesus Christ is Lord unless the Spirit of God moves in him. But then he goes down, he tells us some things about these spiritual gifts or these special abilities. Don't let me lose you. Follow along with me because there's a reason of what I'm saying. He tells us something about these spiritual gifts or abilities that God has given us. Verse 4, he says that there are different kinds of spiritual gifts or special abilities, but the same Spirit is the source of all of them. Do you see that? He says that God has given the body of Christ, believers, some special gifts or abilities. They are different ones, but they come from the same God. Watch this. So the abilities that God has given to the body, they're different. So in other words, if someone doesn't have the same gifting or ability that you have, it doesn't mean that they're not anointed. It just means that they may have a different gift. Amen. There are different gifts that God has given. He says the gifts or abilities do different things. Do you see that? He says there are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. So these gifts or abilities perform different services. Our giftings don't all do the same thing. Some of these gifts that God gives, they provide different services. And then lastly, he says God works in different ways, but it is the same God who does the work in all of us. Watch this. So there are different gifts that God has given to us. They do different things and they operate differently, right? Okay, this is good. Now he begins to explain what these gifts are. Follow along. He explains to you what these gifts are. Look in verse 8. He says, to one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. Watch this. Did you see what he says? He says, there are different gifts. To one person, the Spirit gives the gift of wise advice. There are some people in the body who have the gift of giving wise advice, wise counsel. That's a gift. It's they don't have to work at it. It's a gift. Anybody ever known somebody who just was wise? As much as I hate to do it sometimes, my father is probably one of the wisest people that I've ever met. It's not hard for him. It's just natural. It's a gift. Whenever you talk to him, he can just give wise counsel. Watch this. But then he says to another, the same Spirit, Holy Spirit, gives a message of special knowledge. Watch this. So there are some believers who have the gifting to give word of knowledge. They have the ability to keep lots of knowledge. They know things. They can tell you things. They can figure out things. He says the same Spirit gives great faith to another, and to someone else, the Spirit gives the gift of healing. He gives one person the power to perform miracles and another the ability to prophesy. He gives someone else, I hope you following this, he gives someone else the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit. Watch this. Still to another person is given the ability to speak in an unknown tongue, and while yet another person, he gives the ability to interpret what is said. Watch this. So Paul says that God has given the body of Christ all of these gifts, and all these gifts do certain different things, and they function in different ways, and they're awesome gifts, and he explains what these gifts are. But then there's a problem. There's a problem, and I don't know if you see it yet, but this is why you must be discipled. He tells you that there's a problem. Look there in verse 7. He says, and I'm going to add, but. Look at your neighbor and say, but. Okay, watch this. He's talked about all these gifts that are available. He talks about what the gifts are. He talks about they perform different services. But in verse 7, he says, a spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help. Watch this. Notice what it says. He says, a spiritual gift. Do you see that? He says, a spiritual gift is given to each of us. Now, didn't he just say that there were a lot of different gifts? Come on, wait a minute. Follow along with me. This is why you must be discipled. Watch this. He says there's a whole bunch of gifts, and there's even more than that if you go to Romans. We're just looking at these. He says there's a whole bunch of gifts, but he says a spiritual gift has been given to each of you. Watch this. He says, a. What? How many is a? Watch this. So he says, a spiritual gift has been given to you. So what does that mean? That means every person in here has a spiritual gift. Hang on. I'm headed somewhere. Watch this. You got one spiritual gift. Listen, you may say, well, Pastor, what gift do I have? Well, you need to be discipled. You say, Pastor, I don't know how to use my gift. Well, you need to be discipled. Watch this. He says, whether you know it or not, when you accepted Christ, you were given a spiritual gift. Watch this. He says, that gift was given to you. It's called a grace gift. It means that you didn't earn it. You don't deserve it. It's not about you. It's not about how awesome you are. It's not about because you were something special, but it was because God decided to give you a gift. Amen. So that means what God has given to you is not meant for you to lord up over yourself and talk about how awesome you are and how your abilities are so great. You wouldn't have the gift if God hadn't given it to you. So everyone has a gift. The gift was given to you. You didn't earn it. But watch this. The problem is you only got one gift. Watch this. So no matter how anointed you are, no matter how awesome your gift is, inherently in the system, you will always be lacking. Listen, no matter how much knowledge you have, the way God designed the system is you only have one gift. You don't have all of them. Okay. Cynthia, come here. John, come here. Tony, I need 9 of you. 1, 2, 3. Sandra, 4. Robert, 5. Christina, 6. I just need 9. Whatever. Y'all, come on. Stop looking all pretty. This ain't no modeling competition. Come on up here. Come on. Chantel, come on. I need 9 of you. Watch this. 9. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Okay, watch this. See, this is what's happening in the body of Christ. You got saved, you got your gift, but you only got one. Watch this. She has a gift of wise advice, wisdom. He has the gift of knowledge. John has the gift of faith. Remember this. Cynthia has the gift of healing. Christina has the gift of miracles. Sandra has a gift of prophecy. Robert has a gift to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God. And how many of you know he's going to lord up over that? I'm God because I can tell you whether, you know, you can see it all over him. And then, who did I say? Chantel has a gift to speak an unknown language. And then Lo got the ability to interpret what is being said. Watch this. Here's the awesome thing that happens. God has given each one of us a gift, but the problem is nobody has all of them. Watch this. The only person who had all of the gifts was Jesus. Watch this. So inherent in the system of Christianity, you will never be the bomb, if you will. It doesn't matter who you are. If you as good as Bishop Jake, you will never reach your full potential on your own because you only possess one of the gifts. Watch this. Watch this now. See, you need each other to grow. What's the purpose of the gift? Did you see that? He says the reason God gave you the gift was so that you can help someone else. Watch this. So your gift is not necessarily for you. Your gift is to help someone else. That's the system. The way God designed it is he gave you a gift so that you can help somebody else. Why? Because inherent in the system, the way that you get your need met is by helping someone else get their need met. Amen. Amen. See, what happens is when the body is working right and all of the gifts are in operation, any problem that arises, the body is able to meet it. See, you know why you can never get the big head too much on yourself? It's because eventually a situation is going to arise that your gifting cannot meet. Who had healing? You were healing? Yeah, you were healing. Come on, front. Okay. Oh, miracles? Who had healing? Okay. Okay, here's the gift of healing. How many of you know healing is a big thing nowadays? If you got the gift of healing, you the bomb. Everybody think that you Benny Hinn, you're going to sell out conferences and everything else, right? Which, first of all, let me just make a point. I probably shouldn't do this. But the point of it is, if you got the gift of healing, it's not about you. There's nothing special about you. It's the gift that you were given. So freely you got it, freely you should be. Okay, that's another thing. But here's the thing. You can have the gift of healing, and you may literally think you're the bomb. But what happens when you come into a problem where you don't know what to do? Watch this. Here's what's happening in the body of Christ. This is why when you get saved, you can try to live the Christian life on your own, but you can't do it on your own because you only got one gift. And when a situation arises, in this situation, you may be gifted with healing, but what you need is now, watch this. How many know that sometimes when we got a certain gift, particularly if it's good, you don't feel you need anybody else? See, some of us think we got the anointing of Jesus. We got all the gifts. I don't need anybody else. See, the way he designed it, you just can't grow completely because situations will occur that's outside your gifting. See, that's the power of the small groups, the life groups that we have. Listen, see, when the body is operating properly, there should be no needs in your life that aren't being met. Can I ask you something? What happens, though, when you have a church or a believer, a group of believers, to where the gifts aren't operating? think about it. What happens when you have a person who has a gift, but something happens and she needs, prophecy. I'm picking on you, Tandra. She needs prophecy, right? She has an issue. She really needs somebody to speak into her life. But Sandra, I'm trying to think of the right word. Sandra is shy, and she's sitting down in her seat and don't want to get up. Sandra doesn't want to exercise her gift or doesn't even know that she has a gift. What happens to her? And she struggles. Watch this. In our body here today, some of you don't think that you got a gift. You think that only the super spiritual people, who you call super spiritual, are the only ones that should be doing anything. But the Bible says you have been given a gift. Now, you may not know what the gift is. That's why you need to come to the first hour. They have a class right now on spiritual gifts. We're going to talk a little bit about this more next week, about what some of these gifts are and how they work. But you have a gift. You may not know how to use it. But when these gifts in this body aren't operating right, the needs that need to be met never get met. So the Bible says that God has given you a gift. Your gift is not for you. Your gift is to help somebody else. One. Number two, he says that the gift that he gives you, it is your responsibility to help somebody else. Wait a minute. He says a spiritual gift is given. Why? That means it is your responsibility to use the gift that God has given you. I don't care what church you go to. If you are going to church, let me back up for these cameras. If you're going to church and all you do is come and you never use your gift, you are not fulfilling your responsibility as a believer. Well, the amens down went down. I don't care if you 90, 60, 15, or Gregory this morning. He got in there. Everybody has a gift. Everybody should be using that gift to help somebody else. Listen, it's your responsibility to do it. Watch this. The last thing that thing tells me is that there are some needs that will only be met by your gift. Watch this. In other words, God, when he made these gifts, he gave so many because there's different needs. Watch this. And there are some needs that will only be met by your gift. Or let me say it this way. They are best met through your gift and not somebody else's. You know, I've had to learn this as a pastor. How many know that, you know, pastors are supposed to be really good people, persons, and all that type of stuff. But how many know that, you know, pastors don't always have the perfect gifting for every situation? I don't have the gift of mercy. So if we listen, it's a gifting thing, right? It comes off. It's natural. I have to work at trying to be merciful because I don't necessarily have the gift of mercy. So if you're going through a rough time and you're looking for somebody to give you mercy, I don't necessarily have the gift that you need at that particular time. You need somebody else's gift. There. I would help, but what I'm saying is there are certain gifts that are more effective at doing things than others. So, yes, of course I would try to help, but have you ever had somebody try to help you and it just, they were trying, but they really, see, it's not about talents, it's about gifting. See, and what God is saying in the body, see, that's what these small groups are designed to do. They're designed for gifts to come out to help people live better and be more like Christ. The pastor is to equip the body to do ministry. Why? Because the pastor does not have all the gifts. I had to tell Pastor Sam that he thought he was the bomb and he had all the gifts. And he had to learn that he hadn't. His gray hair is evidence that he didn't have all the gifts. Because the stripes of life has brought gray hair. And can I tell you something? I mess with him, but I ain't even that old. You know, I got gray hairs coming in all over the place. If I don't shave, I got gray, all this will be gray. It's a trait or something we got. Listen, but here's what I'm saying. Everybody has a gift. Y'all can sit down. Y'all can sit down. Everybody has a gift. You will never reach your full spiritual maturity without other people's giftings. That's why when you're going through stuff, it's dangerous to go through everything alone. You know why? Because see, when you're going through that problem, the only way you see that problem is with your gift. You're struggling financially and you don't see no way out. You know what you need? You need somebody with the gift of faith. See, and it's amazing what happens when the gifts flow, because then doors just begin to open. Listen, I got to close. So you got to use your gift. Listen, let me close with just these last few things. Look there if you still got your Bibles open. Everybody has a gift. You need to use your gift. Listen, God determines what gift you get. Look at verse 11. It says, it is the one and only Spirit who distributes or gives all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should give. So there's no need in getting upset at Sandra and me because we can sing. There's no need in getting upset with Sandra because she can sing. I'm gonna take myself out of that. Right? Wait, this is important. Why is this important? Because see, y'all know in church, if we were just honest for a minute, church folk are some of the most jealous people you ever want to see. That's why you have preachers with like 50 titles. Pastor, bishop, elder, missionary, prophetess, apostle, doctor, POTUS, every other name you want to put on there. Watch this. Because everybody wants to feel important. Everybody wants you to know who I am. Everybody wants you to know that I'm awesome and that I'm gifted and that I'm anointed. But remember what he said. You may not have the same gift, but everybody is anointed to do something. Watch this. Out of close. He says, everybody's gifted, and every gift is necessary. They were talking about this morning in the first class, so I'm not going to do too much on it. But if you go down through these verses, in verses 12 through 24, he says in verse 19, I'm just going to read this for the sake of time. See, every gift that's in here is necessary in order for the body to work. Watch this. You may not need healing right now, but at some point you're going to need it. You may not need wisdom right now, but at some point you're going to need it. Watch this. You may not even need tongues right now. Boy, the amens that went down. But at some point, you're going to need it. Every gift is necessary. Look at verse 18. He says, but our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it. How strange a body would be if it only had one part. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. Look at verse 21. The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. right? So there are different gifts in the body. Some of you are sitting down. You don't think your gift is important. Your gift is essential, because if your gifting is not flowing in the body, some need is not going to get met. He says, what happens when everybody knows what their gifting is? Look there, 25 and 26, because I got to close. He says, this makes for harmony among the members. You know why there's harmony? It's because when people understand their gifting, they talked about this in the first morning, you ain't got all that jealousy around. I don't have to feel inferior to your gift, because you were anointed to do what God has called you to do. We can have harmony in there because I'm not biting and chomping at you. I don't have to be jealous of you, because even though I don't have your gift, God has still anointed me to do something. And sometimes the stuff in church is so crazy because people don't know who they are in Christ. You're so busy picking at that young man and what he got on instead of worrying about who you are in Christ. You're so busy talking about that young man with his pants going down. You may not understand that young man may be so anointed it would make your hair fall off. Remember this. They didn't think Jesus was anointed. The Bible says when they looked upon Jesus, they didn't see anything that they desired. Martin Luther King, when he was growing up, probably nobody thought that anything was special about him. President Barack with them ears, he might have been picked on in school. Nobody thought there was anything special about him. I ain't gonna say Donald Trump. God bless our president. Help him. But here's what I'm saying. See, some of us, we're hiding. See, we have an image of who's the superstar. You know, if I don't have the holy dress on, y'all know the prophetesses, and everybody come out in a certain dress, and if I don't have a certain look, then I'm not anointed to work. But I came to tell you that everybody in here is anointed to do something. Watch it. But you'll never go to your fullest potential on your own. You got to be discipled. If you've gotten saved, see, and in the church, what I believe, many people have gotten saved, they're just not growing. And the reason we're not growing is because it's like you've been born, but there's no parents around. And it takes parents to raise children. And all of us know something. All of our life experiences has something that can help somebody else in. And we got to learn to start using that. Listen, the next semester of the small groups are starting June the 23rd. They start June the 23rd. They're going to be going for 6 to 8 weeks. Let me just say this. Those groups are designed. Watch this. They're designed to build relationships amongst each other so that we can grow together. I don't care what church you go to. You need to be around some other believers that can help you grow. There are marriage groups for married people so that married believers can get together and grow. You can be as old, excuse me, you can be as seasoned as Pastor Sam and been married. I don't know how long they've been married, 50-some years or whatever it is, 55 years. Watch this. If you thinking about getting married or you recently got married, then odds are you starting off married life new. Does that make sense? You're not an expert in marriage, so you probably need to get with some married folk that can help you grow. If you were married and a spouse died, How many know that sometimes we have that happen? That you are entering into a new season of your life. And sometimes you need to get with some other people who have been through that, that can help you in that season of your life. If you just got saved, you coming off the street from drinking and smoking and living in sin, you need to be around some other people who have gotten some victory over that. If you gonna grow. The problem is, some of us are getting saved, you just not growing. And the reason we're not growing is you can only do so much on your own before you need someone to help you. So we just want to encourage you. Those groups are not just for Open Door Family. You can invite friends. You don't have to come to our church. It doesn't matter. We're all a part of the body of Christ. People just need to be encouraged in God. And so you'll hear more about that as it's coming. Let us bow our heads.